Hello, and welcome to this podcast put together by the NHS Accelerated Access Collaborative. Today we'll be discussing the identification and management of asthma with uncontrolled symptoms in the primary care setting. Beverly Bostock and Kerry Mills will be introducing a new tool to aid healthcare professionals in knowing when to refer patients to secondary care for consideration of a biologic. So as I said, I've got Beverly and Kerry who are joining me today. Beverly is currently working as an advanced nurse practitioner, working in general practice in Gloucestershire, and she's also the asthma lead for the Association of Respiratory Nurse Specialists. And Kerry is currently working as a respiratory nurse practitioner in Herefordshire. So welcome to both of you. Now, this is just a short podcast to introduce the challenges of uncontrolled asthma from a primary care perspective. And this will be followed by a number of exciting tools over the next few months. So, to kick things off, shall we start by explaining what uncontrolled asthma is?
So when we're talking about uncontrolled asthma, this is when the patient experiences more symptoms. So that would be things like increased coughing, nocturnal waking, increased shortness of breath, chest tightness, and generally not being able to do their day-to-day activities because of their asthma symptoms. And we often pick this up as we do the asthma control test on the annual review, and we establish actually their symptoms are quite uncontrolled, or if they present themselves with to the surgery with increasing symptoms in accordance to their asthma action plan.
And I think it's quite interesting to compare our view of asthma that's not well controlled with the patients, because patients often think that their asthma's okay and they think it's okay to be using reliever medication sometimes quite frequently, even waking at night time, and they don't realize that these are really important indications that their asthma is not controlled. They think it's part and parcel of having asthma. So if they're using blue inhalers, for me, I'm always anxious if they're using more than two blue inhalers per year. And yet, you know, some guidelines talk about six per year. I think that allows for a little bit of, well, I have one here, one there, just so that I can reach them if I need them. And also for the fact that sometimes people lose them. But when we get into 12, which is what's mentioned in the BTS sign guidelines, I think we have to realise that anyone getting through 12 inhalers per year is using an awful lot of medication on a daily basis. And we really need to get those patients in urgently, which is what BTS sign says. But it's trying to get across to patients that, you know, they shouldn't need that blue inhaler. And so I think it is really key to make sure that we as clinicians pick up on uncontrolled asthma, but that we raise the expectations of patients when it comes to what good control looks like.
And I think that's one of the challenges, isn't it? It's a couple of challenges here, really. It's about us as clinicians recognising and acknowledging that when patients are presenting or overuse using their blue inhalers, that this is a sign of uncontrolled asthma. And what we actually do in our surgery is we work very closely as a team with the script team and the reception team for those patients who are requesting more and more blue inhaler or reliever medication. And that flags up an alert to us as clinicians that we need to be reviewing this patient group. And then it is about the expectation of the patient, what they expect to, what symptoms they expect to tolerate. And we need to be sending the correct message that control is reduction of symptoms back to normal life and minimal, if no use of a reliever inhaler.
Absolutely. And even those patients who do say, well, I order extras so that I can have them to hand. You know, for me, that makes me a little bit anxious that their asthma isn't so well controlled, that they feel they need to have a blue inhaler within reach all the time. So even that reason, that rationale for having all those extra prescriptions, I think should be enough to alert us to a potential problem there. So we need to have a low bar really for suspecting that asthma is not well controlled. And I think that's where the tool that we've developed for this project might be quite useful for primary care clinicians. I remember when I've seen information about severe asthma and uncontrolled asthma before, and particularly when it comes to severe asthma and the use of biologics, I used to think back in the day, well, that's not me, that's secondary care, that's tertiary care even, and primary care isn't going to be involved in the care of people with severe or uncontrolled asthma. Of course, that's absolutely not the case, is it? Because if we don't pick them up in primary care, then they're not actually going to get the referral that they may well need. And so then they're going to go on potentially for years with uncontrolled symptoms that could be far better controlled with the appropriate medication, which might include biologics. And I think it's worth sort of having a little chat here, Kerry, about the difference between, indeed, if there is any, between a difficult asthma, as it's often labelled, and severe asthma. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, I think the terminology is not very easy to understand here. So we talk about difficult to control asthma, don't we? It's not a difficult patient. It's the fact that their symptoms are very difficult to get control of. And actually, this may be due to issues such as adherence, inhaler technique, poor compliance, and them not understanding their management plan and their action that they should be taking to sustain their control. And then you're looking at the more severe patient group, and this is the patient group that actually, despite having stepping up their management and ensuring that they're using their inhaler correctly, ensuring that they are on the correct regime, but despite that, they're still using increased doses, potentially of higher dose inhaled corticosteroids, going further up the stepwise approach, but also maybe potentially using the oral steroids. This is another group of patients that's very difficult to manage.
So that's where the HASTE tool comes in. So we've tried to make it easy for people working in primary care to identify those individuals who may well need referring. So we've called it HASTE, and we've said that you need to make haste and refer if patients fall into these categories. So each letter of HASTE stands for an indication that a patient may qualify for a referral to assess whether they have severe asthma and whether a biologic is indicated for these patients. So the H stands for high intensity treatment. That might mean that they're on high doses of medication. So it might be inhaled corticosteroids. It may possibly be patients who are on daily corticosteroids orally. It might be that they have tried those higher doses and it hasn't actually helped. So maybe they're on, you know, medium doses, but it's not for lack of trying to get that control on higher doses. They may well have tried leukotriene receptor antagonists. They may be on those still. They may also have tried long-acting muscarinic antagonists, which may or may not have worked for them. So the point is that we have individuals who have tried or who are on high intensity treatment for their asthma and are still having symptoms. So that's where the H fits in. The A stands for adherence. So have we actually checked that the patient is collecting their prescriptions, which is one way of assessing adherence. But obviously collecting prescriptions doesn't necessarily mean that they're taking that medication. So we really do need to have some full and frank conversations with those individuals about how often they miss their inhaler. And, you know, maybe just make it clear to them that this is quite normal for people to forget to take their inhalers. But just how often is that happening? So adherence is the A of HASTE. Then the S is about severe exacerbation. So has the patient had an exacerbation that has landed them in hospital in the last year? Or have they had two or more exacerbations that have required a course of oral corticosteroids? This is an important flag. You know, a single exacerbation requiring oral corticosteroids is really important, but to have two in the space of a year, we decided as part of the collaborative, was an important flag to indicate that these individuals were high risk for severe asthma. The T is for technique. So, you know, it goes without saying that every individual taking inhaled therapy needs to have their technique assessed, and we need to be absolutely sure that they're taking their medication in the correct way. And it is worth remembering that even when we have assessed patients and they've got good technique, research tells us that that technique can deteriorate over time. And if you review them 3 months down the line, actually their technique is no longer as good as it was when you assessed it. So, you know, making sure that people have access to reminders about techniques, such as those through the Asthma UK website, videos on inhaler technique, that's really important as well. So we need to make sure that they're priming the device correctly, that they're loading the doses, that they are inhaling properly, they've got their breath hold, they've got their breath out beforehand, all of those things that we would normally check with patients. It's really important that we should be checking that before we refer for possible severe asthma. And then the E of haste is about excluding other conditions. So have they got inducible laryngeal obstruction, which is causing symptoms that look like asthma? Have they got reflux or postnasal drip that's causing symptoms? Have they got other more significant comorbidities like heart failure that might be causing breathlessness that's making them take more of their reliever inhaler? To no avail, because it's actually the heart failure that's the problem. So E is for excluding other conditions. And if you have ticked those boxes and your patient still appears to qualify as a severe asthma referral, that's when you need to crack on and refer those patients in so that they can be assessed and whether and determine whether a biologic is actually indicated for those patients.
I really like that tool, actually, Bev. It's, it helps to quantify what you're trying to measure, but it also gives you an ability to verbalise what you're actually looking for. And then when you're referring on, it gives you the right communication tools to say to secondary care, this is what we're finding. And I think this will be a really useful tool to use.
We try and make things simple. Unlike things like adherence and inhaler technique, they're not so simple. Any hints and tips around what we can do there, Kerry?
I think the COVID pandemic has really, really tested our resourcefulness and thinking out of the box. And actually, what we've had to do with a lot of patients is obviously not see them face to face, but through a video consultation or a telephone consultation. And it hasn't been the ideal opportunity to check these inhaler techniques or using the in-check device, etc. But actually, there are some really useful resources. So you can talk to the patient about, like you said, the breath out, the breathing in. Do they have a good inspiratory effort in? Can they use a dry powder inhaler versus a tidal breathing for a spacer? And actually, we can do this over video consultation. Bit more difficult over telephone, but we can then direct the patient to the websites like the Asthma UK website for using the inhaler technique correctly, Asthma UK. But also we can show this to them during their consultation, which has been really useful. And also the use of the AQRX system where you can send patient links. That's another way that we've learned how to communicate with patients. As you say, when we're looking at adherence, that's quite tricky. Seeing how many inhalers they've actually used or picked up is very different to how many they're actually taking on a daily basis. And I like the way that you say it's, we've got to be quite open and honest and let people know it's quite normal not to take their inhaler all of the time. And it is quite normal to forget. But there are things that we can do to assist with that. There are, you know, most people have phones. We can put reminders on their phones, reminding them to put their inhaler by the toothbrush, that sort of thing. There's lots of hints and tips that we can share with patients just to try and make it part of their daily routine.
That sounds amazing. And I think, you know, those sorts of reminders are really useful for clinicians as well as patients to help us support them with their ongoing asthma management. It's important to remember that they will be self-managing for, you know, 99% of the time. The time they spend with a healthcare professional is minimum in comparison. So I think we've come up with some really, hopefully, really useful tips for people. And as we heard, there are a lot more resources coming your way to support you with identifying patients with uncontrolled asthma, identifying those that might have severe asthma, and knowing when to refer confidently for a consideration of a biologic. Obviously, the full assessment is done by the specialists and they will decide if it's appropriate and which one is appropriate. But as I said earlier, you know, it came to me a few years ago that actually if we're not referring these patients in primary care, they're never going to get that opportunity. And we do know that there are delays with patients suffering symptoms for potentially years before they get that referral. So for those of us in primary care, I think for me, some of the key points to take forward from this podcast is that we should recognize those people who are not well controlled, recognize where there's something that we can do, such as working on technique and adherence, but also be mindful of those individuals where their technique is good, their adherence is good, but still we're seeing them suffering symptoms or exacerbations, they're on high levels of treatment and they're still not well controlled. Those are the people that we should be thinking about referring. And I think this this podcast hopefully encourages people working in primary care to really think about those individuals. And I wonder, in fact, how many people listening in know who's already on the severe asthma register, who's already under secondary or tertiary care for their severe asthma. That's an action that they might want to take forward and just find out who those people are. So key learning points for you, Kerry?
There's lots of learning points, actually, but the first and foremost for me, it's that haste tool. It's that mnemonic. Really easy, I think, to apply. As you say, act with haste. Let's do something about here rapidly. Let's not sit back. High intensity treatment. That's a really different mindset, isn't it? To actually saying this patient's on this medication, they're using lots of oral steroids, we're going to try a leukotriene antagonist, you know, but actually this is in high intensity treatment, not just accepting that this is the approach for asthmatic management, that we are actually reacting to those patients in that group. Adherence is always an issue for patients and for clinicians, and being open and honest and encouraging patients to share with you what they would do normally. Severe exacerbations. I wonder how many patients over the COVID pandemic have actually had oral steroids. I think I will probably go back and have a look on our searches and see how many we actually have in our surgery that have had that many oral steroids over the last 12 months and flag those up. Technique, we can never underestimate the benefit of technique and excluding other conditions. I just like the way that it's spelled out, nice and easy to follow. Thank you, Bev.
Thank you, Kerry. So we've got some learning points. Hopefully you guys listening in have got some points to take away and act on. Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast. And don't forget, we have many more hints and tips, webinars and modules that you can engage in coming your way. So do keep looking out for those.
Well, that just about wraps everything up for today. Thank you for your time. It's been really, really great to listen to you. And I look forward to seeing what tools you produce next.